Philippians.
We have looked at a number of chapters. We haven't simply started at the beginning, but I focused on some verses at the end of chapter 12 and the beginning of chapter 14, where Paul says, I show you a more excellent way. And he speaks about love, and he calls them to live a life of love. And putting it into that context, I have then come back to the beginning of the letter to see why Paul gave such an encouragement. And the reality of this church is that they had known the power of God. Paul had come and he had preached, and people had been converted, and Paul had finished his ministry, and then other men had followed him. A man like Apollos, a man like Cephas, or as we know him more as Peter. And they had built on the foundation that Paul had laid. But there came in people after them, perhaps even from within their own number, and they were saying, Paul, you know, he's all right. He's the kindergarten of Christian experience. But we are the high school. We have had fuller experiences of God, and we want you to enjoy those experiences. We want you to reach the heights of the experience that is possible as a Christian. And they're saying, forget Paul, forget his emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ, and come with us into new spiritual experiences. Now, that sort of teaching caused huge problems. And Paul has been dealing with that. He has shown that the church has been split and they are breaking up into their little cliques. And then in this passage that we have read together this morning, Paul actually says something which in many ways is incredibly surprising. Verse 16 says this, I urge you then, be imitators of me. I urge you then, be imitators of me. Now, you think, but Paul, you're a preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a preacher of the gospel. You were supposed to be telling people to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it seems as though you are turning things around. And you're saying, look at me. I have got all the answers. Well, if you've got a Bible, I want you to just come with me this morning to a few other verses which say a similar thing. So here we've got chapter 4 and verse 16. I urge you then, be imitators of me. Flick over to chapter 11 and verse 1. And Paul begins by saying exactly the same thing. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And there, Paul is saying something that we can cope with a bit better. He's not simply saying imitate me, but he's saying imitate me because what I am is as a result of Christ being in me, and me following the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then flick over to chapter 15 and to verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul is saying, look, don't look at me and think that I have got all the answers. I've not got the answers. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who has got the answers. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who spoke to me. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who was gracious to me and who saved me. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who has equipped me for ministering. So Paul is speaking in a context where sadly this church is divided. It is split. And friends, we are living in a day that is very similar. We hear many, many voices being raised and saying, this is true Christianity, that is true Christianity. Others say to us, look, stop being so pernickety and stop trying to be exclusive about Christianity. All roads lead to God. And they are trying to be a uniting force, but in fact, they cause further division. And Paul is saying here, in chapters 1 to 4, the church has been divided because you have brought out the wrong emphasis in your teaching. And then when we get to chapter 5, we see the consequences of that false teaching. And we will look at these chapters, God willing, in the coming weeks. But there is immorality in the church that is unparalleled, in a way, in the world, almost. That's described in chapter 5. In chapter 6, Paul says that Christians, instead of sitting down and working out their differences, are actually ending up in court with each other. And this is because of the false teaching. The end of chapter 6 through into chapter 7, Paul says there are problems within your marriages. And then in chapters 8 through 10 and even into 11, Paul is saying that your worship is wrong because you're living in a multicultural society and you think you can be involved in this temple one day, in that temple another. You think that you can worship God in the way that the world worships their gods. And it's in that context that Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. But notice how he begins this verse in chapter 4 and verse 16. I urge you then. Paul is saying, this is vitally important. And this morning, I want to say to you, on the strength of God's word, there is nothing more important in your life than to know the Lord Jesus Christ and what he requires of you. There's nothing more important than understanding the teaching of the Bible with reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and responding to that. Paul, in effect, in this passage, is giving us two examples to follow in life. He's saying, follow me because I follow Christ. That can be turned around a little bit, and it can be understood in this way. Yes, I want you to follow me, but more importantly, I want you to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul speaks about these people, that they feel as though they have got all that they want in life. Look at verse 8. He says, already you have all you want. Already you have become rich without us. You have become kings. And would that you did reign so that we might share the rule with you. These people are saying, Paul, all you think about is the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've had these wonderful spiritual experiences. We have got the riches of spiritual experience. But Paul says, imitate me. Follow the example that I set. And what I want to do this morning is to develop what Paul says there by looking at his testimony in Philippians chapter 3. So if you've got a Bible, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Because I will show you Paul without Christ, and I will show you Paul with Christ. And then as we go back to chapter 2 of that same letter, I will show you the Lord Jesus Christ. So Philippians chapter 3 in the Church Bible, it's on page 1181. Here again, Paul is being criticized because of his position and his teaching. And if we start reading in verse 4, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which comes from the law. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ the righteous, from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. What is Paul saying here? Paul is saying, be imitators of me. And Paul begins his testimony here in Philippians by saying, I thought I had everything. I was born into the right nation. And sadly, we live in a world, don't we, that is split on ethnic lines. People want to say that their particular ethnic grouping is more important than another. Paul was not only born into the right nation, but he'd been through the right religious rituals. And there may be people here this morning, and you think, yes, I'm right with God, because maybe I was baptized as a baby, or maybe even as an adult. Maybe you've been through another ritual in another religion, and you think that that religion has got you right with God. And Paul argued exactly that here in Philippians chapter 3. But then he goes on that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. Not only had he been through the right rituals, but he'd been to the right schools. He had been taught the right way to worship God. He knew all the laws that the religious teachers, the Pharisees, would teach him. And he tried to keep them. He did everything that he could in order to fulfill the law of God. And when Jesus Christ had died and risen again, and people started to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then he said, these people are wrong, and I'm going to persecute them, because the teaching of the Old Testament is the most important. And Paul persecuted Christians. Why did he do this? Because he wanted to do everything that he could to be right with God. Let me ask you this morning, are you doing that? Are you saying, I know that I've got to please God. I know that I've got to do the right thing, and therefore I'm going to do this. I'm going to attend church. I'm going to give to the church. I'm going to give to charity. I'm going to give my time to help other people. Well, you're alongside Paul, and you're imitating him, and that's what he calls you to do. But notice what he says in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. What's Paul saying there? He's saying he came to a point in his life where he realized that all his effort, all his family connections, all his religion meant absolutely nothing. They couldn't do a thing to save him. They couldn't do a thing to give him peace with God. So he came to the point, and he came to that point when God spoke to him. Yes, it was pretty dramatic for Paul. It may not be as dramatic for us, but Paul realized that nothing that I have is of any worth. The only thing that counts is what Christ has done for me. Notice he says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that depends on faith. Friends, the most important need that you have in life, whether you're a young child or one of our older members here this morning, the most important thing that you need is to be right with God. To know that the sins that you have committed in your mind, with your eyes, with your lips, with your hands, with your heart, to know that all of those sins are forgiven. And Paul said that he came to that point in his life. He took all his effort, all his religious observance, and he said, they do nothing for me. Friends, religion will never save you. But Christ has saved. Christ has paid the full price so that the sin that you and I are guilty of might be exchanged for the righteousness that is in Christ. How righteous was Christ? Well, the Bible tells us that he didn't commit any sin. Neither was there deceit in his mouth. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ died. Why did he die? He died so that he might forgive the sins of other people. So that those who, as it says here in verse 9, those who depend on him by faith might be given the righteousness of Christ. Paul says, be imitators of me. And he came to the point where he knew that his effort was worthless. But in chapter 11, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And if you've got your Bibles open, I want you to go back to Philippians 2. We've been looking at Philippians 3. And I want you to see the example of Christ. And Paul says this about Christ. Well, he's writing to the Philippians and he says, have this mind. This is chapter 2 and verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves. One translation says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul, talking about his own experience, says that he wants this righteousness which comes from Christ. When he's describing the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, Christ is God. He was in the form of God, but he didn't hang on to that. Paul had been hanging on. I'm a Jew. I'm born of the tribe of Benjamin. I am of the school of the Pharisees. I persecute the church. And whenever anybody challenged Paul, he said, this is who I am. But speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, Paul begins by saying, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, a thing to be held on to. No, he humbled himself. He made himself nothing. And he became a servant. That's how Paul describes himself back in 1 Corinthians 4, where we started this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ was a servant. He was willing to do the will of God. He was God. He remained God. And yet he became a human being. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Why did Jesus die? He didn't need to die. Death is a consequence of sin. Why did he die? He died in obedience. He died in obedience to his Father. He died in obedience to himself. He died in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Because God in Trinity loved this world. And he sent his Son into this world. Why? To die. In order to give his life a ransom for many. Paul says, be imitators of me, even as I am of Christ. What did Christ do? Christ fulfilled the two great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he was saying, Father, I love you because I am prepared to do what you want me to do. And he was saying to the world, people of every language, tribe, and nation, every generation, from the dawn of history till the day that Jesus Christ comes back, he was saying, there is no race, there is no tribe, there is no language that is outside of my love. And I am prepared to love the worst of sinners. And I will show you my love by dying in your place. So when Paul says, be imitators of me, even as I am of Christ. He was facing false teachers in Corinth. He could have said, look, I will explain this to you. I will do that. I will do the other. He says, no. I want you to understand that there came a point in my life when I realized that all of my experience was nothing. It was rubbish. The scum of the earth. As Dave pointed out from the reading earlier, the filth of this world. He says, I came to that point and I realized there was nothing. But then I realized that Jesus had done all that is required. That Jesus died in the place of sinners. The worst of sinners, the most religious of sinners. He died in the place of those who will believe. And Paul came to that point. He was blinded because of the glory of God. And he asks this question, Lord, what do you want me to do? Are you prepared to ask that question this morning yourself? I've tried. I thought I could do it this way. I thought I could do it that way. But are you prepared with Paul to ask, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord Jesus Christ says to you, just trust. Just trust. acknowledge that all your efforts have done nothing to give you peace with God. Acknowledge that you have tried to live a good life like Paul did, but it hasn't given you peace. And acknowledge that Jesus has died in your place, because you and I have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let me ask you this morning, if you feel as though you've understood this for the first time, are you prepared to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? You can know that forgiveness. You can know that restoration about which Paul speaks here. It's not gained by completing courses or studying philosophical ideas. It is gained by trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he described himself as your father in Christ, because he was so intimately involved with them. And he was writing to believers there, and perhaps that's where you're at this morning. You've been a believer for many years, but maybe your heart has grown cold. Maybe you have been relying on being a church member, on all the things that you do for God. But Paul says, no, none of these things matter. All that matters is that you believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that you accept that you are a sinner, and that you ask Jesus to forgive you. Paul, we go back to where he was, where we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He says that I became a servant of Christ. I became a steward of the mysteries of God. He said, I was prepared to do this because this is what God wanted of me. But in verse 6, he says, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers. Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ, had one common approach to life. They made themselves nothing for the benefit of others. When Jesus died on the cross, he loved God his Father, but he loved people of every tribe and nation. Paul says, imitate me. We find that difficult because many of us as Christians are conscious of our own sin and our own shortcomings. And we think, well, we wouldn't want people to do that. But the vital thing is that we're saved not by our own efforts, but by faith in the God who loved us and gave himself to save us. Paul was a servant for the benefit of others. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save so that he might give his life a ransom for many. Let me ask you this morning, do you know God's forgiveness? Do you need God's forgiveness? I can answer that question. You do need it. And you must come to him in faith this morning. Paul says, be imitators of me, even as I am of Christ. I urge you, there is nothing more important this morning than that you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final hymn will be on the screen, or it will be in the folders. If you find it difficult to read on the screen, just raise your hand and you can be given a folder. It's Wonderful Grace That Gives What I Don't Deserve, pays what Christ has earned, cries me what Christ has earned, then lets me go free. The chorus says, and all that I have, I lay at the feet of the wonderful Saviour who loves me. Are you prepared to do that this morning? Lay everything at his feet and enjoy his love. Let's sing.